which stood afar off. Now, this thing is as full and blown as it is in the old, as it is in the new. They were there and they stood afar off. They were standing afar off for a reason. Why? Because the Levitical law, in the Levitical law, it told them that they had to be in a distance. And that also, Brother Derek, what they have to do when they come into the common place, if they were about ready to meet some other parishioners, other people. They had to shout unclean. They had to profess themselves as being unclean. How many of us today, Brother Kim, if whenever we got really down in the, I'm talking about down in the mud and the muck and the sin of this life, and we get steeped in iniquity and our trespasses are against God, and we know it, Brother Kenny, how many of us, if we were honest with ourselves and had to do that and declare ourselves as unclean, what would we be doing? We'd come in that back door saying, unclean, unclean. Let me get to God. Let me get to that altar because I'm unclean. And Brother John, if we were honest with ourselves, every one of us in a chorus and at unison would come in that back door back there saying, unclean. You said, no, I live a little closer than you do, preacher. Then you go ahead and live that close, bless God. But for the rest of it, brother, we'd be coming here saying, I'm unclean. I'm unclean. Bless God, I'm not the greatest pastor. I'm not the cleanest pastor. I'm not the greatest preacher. And I'm not the cleanest preacher. Bless God, I need grace. But I'm glad that grace has been a afforded unto me. He entered into a certain village and there he met him 10 men, and here they are. They were lepers. This is a situation at hand. They stood afar off. They lifted up their voices. Again, it says they and there. I believe it was a unison. I believe it was a chorus of one. The Bible said they lifted up their voices. I don't believe it was the one man that turned and gave thanks. I believe every one of them are crying out that we're unclean and we need some help. The Bible said they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Amen. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go and show yourselves unto the priest. What's that about, preacher? Why would he tell them to go to the priest? Because that's what the law required. They had to go back to the Levitical priest, and then the priest would declare that they could then return back to their family. They would be declared clean again that they might be able to rejoin. But I'm telling you what, the situation at hand had them separated. And we'll look at all this here in just a few minutes. The Bible said, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Go back and hit that just a second. The Bible said it came to pass that as they went. What is that, preacher? That is the obedience to the previous command. He said, you go and you show. So they went, and as they went, they were cleansed. It's pretty obvious to me, Brother Derek, if there's not some obedience to the command that the Lord gives us in that you must be born again, or that the man that had the withered hand when he was told to stretch forth his hand, and when he did, his hand become whole. The Bible said, as they went, they were cleansed. There isn't a command that God gives us in obedience to that command. That's where the blessing's at. That's where the salvation comes in obedience to that command. The Lord told Noah, you go build a boat. Brother, if he's not obedient to that command, you know what's going to happen? He's going to drown with the rest of them. I know that the Bible said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, but brother, in obedience to the command to build the boat, he built the boat. Him and his family got in for the saving of 8 souls in 120 years. They got on the boat. But if you're not obedient to the command of God, guess what? You'll perish with the rest. But the Bible said that he said, go and show yourselves to the priest. The Bible said, it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. You may be seated. I'm just going to ask you a couple quick questions tonight, following up with the questions that are found there upon the pages of 17 and 17 of the book of Luke. Is your situation so dire that you are a sinner and that sinful nature has put you in a leper colony of one? I mean, it's got you exiled. You don't have communion with your children like you will, yet, like you would like to have, or like you one time did. Maybe you and your wife, maybe you used to be just so close to one another, and that closeness has seemed to wane and fade away, and you just don't look at her with the same eye that you used to. I mean, brother, you ought to look at Miss Shirley, and she ought to be, I mean, the most beautiful creature that God ever put in your heart and in your life. And bless God, you know what's even better than that? Bless God, she's yours. And that's the way that thing ought to be. But it could be that sin has crept into the marriage. Sin has crept into the life. Sin has crept into a wayward teen. Sin has crept into the midst of a church. And brother, it can start from the pulpit down. And there's sin in the pulpits of America. And if that sin creeps into the pulpit, it'll be felt in the pews. And if it comes into the pews, it'll be spotted from the pulpit. That thing works both ways. It's not just in a family. But the situation that we see here is that sin abounds. But aren't you glad, Brother Charles, that where sin abounds, what happens beyond that? The Bible said what? Grace doeth much more abound. And aren't you glad for that, Brother Dean Johnson, that where sin abounds, God's got grace to cover that. And each and every one of us in here tonight, we've got situations all around us. You said, preacher, you don't know the situation that I'm in and what's caused me to be in this situation. It doesn't matter. The situation of the sinner is the exact same, whether it be for you or for me. Sin will separate us from Almighty God. It does it every time. It's always done it, and it'll always do it, Brother Derek. And I'm telling you, it's happened in the old Bible, and it'll happen in the new. Whenever sin creeped into the camp, you know what was happening? God was about ready to pronounce a woe on them people. The Bible said they marched around Jericho, and the walls fell down. They all got all high and mighty and a little haughty of spirit. Ai took of the garment, and God, he took of the gold and the shekels of silver. They went to that little Ai, the little city down there, and Brother John, 36 of them got smitten by Almighty God at the hand of the enemy, and then here they are. Wait, what's going on here? How come we couldn't beat this little bitty place? We just took Jericho. He said there's a sin in the camp, and sin will separate you. It'll separate us as a church. It'll separate you as an individual. And bless God, the situation at hand, Brother Lewis, is this, that sin abounds, even in this latter day. Sin abounds, and it'll sure separate you. It'll put you in that little, like I said, a little leper colony of one. And you can't help it. I can't help it. That's just what sin does. It's a disease. And there's a reason, Brother John, that the leper had to go into the colony. You know why? Because if he was in the common populace, he would contaminate the others. And I'm going to tell you what, my dear friends, if sin is not met and dealt with in the local church house, called out, preached against, exposed for what it is, it'll contaminate others. Amen. Brother, it will. It'll spill out on others. And then you think you had a little situation. Now you got a big situation at hand. And it ain't going to get no better, Brother John. Not till it's dealt with. Did they not have to confront at the city of Ai just after that fall? Did they not have to go through that? The Bible said they cast lots. And the lot fell upon one by the name of Achan. That was a price to pay. And it didn't just cost Achan, did it? It cost his whole family. Every one of them. And it don't just affect Brother John. I guarantee you, Brother John, it'll affect Miss Brenna. It'll affect Alexia. Preston will feel it. He'll feel the offshoot. He'll feel those icy fingers gripping him. If you don't think that, Miss Macy, answer this question. If me and Mama over the years ever got in a spat, and I call it a spat, some of y'all might call it intense fellowship, and sometimes we had some little bit of intense fellowship. Honey, did that not affect you? Sure it did. You just wanted to kind of run away. You wanted to go hide. You go to your room and shut the door and turn up the music or do whatever. You wanted to get out of the presence of that. Why? Because it made you uncomfortable. Let me tell you, your kids know what's going on. And they're not sheltered so much that they don't know what's going on. And if that sin comes into the midst of a house, you better believe it's going to be felt by everybody. Like I said, those icy fingers, they'll get everybody. They'll grip the whole crowd. And that ain't just for a family. That's for a church. It'll be felt. It'll be pronounced. So anyway, let's look first. We did that. And like I said, if it's not dealt with, it's like a disease. And if it's left untreated, it'll spread. Look right here what we say in chapter number 13 of the book of Leviticus. I'm going back to 13 and 45. The Bible said, and the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare and shall put upon a covering over his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean, what Brother Derek mentioned a while ago. And then the next verse said, all the days of his life wherein the plague shall be in him shall be defiled. He is unclean and he shall dwell alone without the camp shall be his habitation be. He's outside the camp. He's separated. He's isolated. How's he get back in there? I tell you what, whenever I read that verse right there and it said that, in verse number 13, they lifted up their voice and said, Master, Jesus, have mercy on us. You know what restores the fellowship? You know what will bring the leopard out of his colony of 1 or 10,000? Brother, Mr. Caterpillar, he'll get right down there where you live and he'll say, come on. He said, Master, Jesus, Master, help us, have mercy on us. And when you call unto him, bless God, it don't take 10 minutes. It's not a 12-step process, Brother John. It's an instantaneous thing. Whenever he says for you to do what you got to do and you bow before Almighty God, you know what? I have, Brother John, it's immediate. He restores that broken fellowship. Amen. But sin will separate. Yes. But that leper, that sinner, first he has to realize that he's got to have some help. He's got to get there. We sing a song up here in this old black book, Brother Danny, I'm glad I got lost. If you don't get lost, you'll never get saved. Really, you won't. I remember, and I've told this story umpteen times while I was trying to preach about getting lost in the state of South Dakota. Brother John, my wife kept saying, you better turn around. I'm a man. Men don't take directions too kindly from women, especially one you just married. Honestly, brother, I'm driving, and she said, Mark, you better turn around. And I'm lost in South Dakota, but you know what? I wasn't even in South Dakota anymore. We woke up in Wyoming. I had already crossed the state line, and I was in a little place called Four Corners. And I asked this man in an old rundown gas station. He was in there, and I thought he was dead, and I finally got directions, and I said, well, how do I get to Rapid City? And he said, you got to turn around. You know what that is to me, Brother John? That's repentance. It's turning around and going back the direction that you knew you should have went to start with. But sin will separate us, Brother Derek. And to finally get to that realization that sin has separated, we better just turn around. Amen. God will honor that. Yes, I'm not saying she was right, but the man at the gas station was. That's a true story. That man knew exactly where to go. He said, you got to turn around and go that way. Sorry, honey. Once you get in this separated, sinful condition, teenagers, listen to me. Please listen to me. There's very little that mom and dad can do. Emily and Lily, you got a great family around you. Your daddy and mama love you. I guarantee you right now, if you were dying, your daddy would give you his heart. I promise you that. I guarantee that. Miss Kim, I guarantee you, you or Brian Ford, if one of these kids needed a kidney, you'd be down at the next hospital saying, take mine. You would. And I know that. You're in a great family. And bless God. But let me warn you, honey. There's only so much that mom and daddy can do. After that, it's up purely up to God. But sometimes kids get this little streak in them, a little rebellious heart about them, and they think that they know better. But listen, you don't always know better. Mom and daddy would hang themselves out over hell that you wouldn't have to go there. But they can only go but so far. And then grace has to come in. And mom and daddy have to just yield you over to Jesus. Said, Lord, Brother Jody, tell me, am I right or wrong? Don't you just finally have to say, well, we're putting them in your hands. Brother Gerald, you just have to lay Allie in the hands of grace and say, God, here she is. I can't do anything with her, but here she is. God, you do with her. I'll tell you what, he'll do better than we can. I look at my own daughters and I think, man, the failings that I had growing up and mistakes and misgivings, Brother John. But I'm telling you what, God never failed once. He didn't fail, Brother Kenny. Brother Derek, he's never failed. Not one time. In my own marriage, I think of the misgivings and the steps that I made that just weren't quite right in a marriage. But, you know, God never failed.
Amen.
Where I failed, God never failed.
Amen.
I've just tried to stay faithful to him. And, bless God, aren't you glad for forgiveness?
Amen.
Aren't you glad for forgiveness? I'm telling you what, husbands and wives, you keep praying. Pray for your marriage. Pray for your kids. You want to do anything for your kids, Brother Joe? Work on your relationship with Steph. You want to do anything for your son that's coming along pretty quickly here? You want to do anything? You work on your relationship with Miss Carrie. You want to do anything to help your grandkids? You work on your relationship with Mama. That's going to help. They're going to say, boy, I wish I had what Mama and Papa's got. I don't know what they call you, Gunpa or who?
Poppy.
That's right, Uncle. I'm Uncle Poppy. Uncle Poppy. This next one, I don't say this to bring anybody down. I honestly don't. I told you the situation of the sinner and the separation of the sinner. This next one, I don't tell you on the eve of Thanksgiving to bring you down, but there is a sorrow attached to the sinner. Do you think that Brother John, when that man wakes up and he's got a needle hanging out of his arm, he cannot recall where the last 12 hours have went? I'm serious. He doesn't recall where the last 24-hour period went, but he's here now and he's in this condition. Or the lady or the man that, I know Brother Ricky Viles, and I love Brother Ricky and Carol, and I know y'all know them. Brother Kim, do you remember when we were up there and I was your pastor up at Mountain Valley? You remember when Ricky's brother got hit by a drunk driver and killed over there in Lenore? Do you realize that drunk didn't even know he took another man's life till several hours later? I'm telling you what, there is a sorrow attached to the sinner's condition, Brother John, that's beyond anything that man can fix. You can't fix that. I can't fix that. A therapist or a psychotherapist cannot fix that, Brother Larry. You can't fix that level of sorrow. You can't reach that deep into a man's psyche and inside of his heart and soul. You can't get that deep into him to fix that sorrow that's there. But Brother John, when you go through a red light as a drunk man, inebriated, and not even really aware or conscious of the situation at hand and your circumstances, you're about ready to take another man's life, but you wake up 10 or 12 hours later not even knowing what you've done. There's a great sorrow in that man's heart that I've took a man's life. I remember Brother Ricky that night, that thing come in, man, it tore him up as it would anybody. His brother was killed by a drunk driver, and then it just makes you want to just go into a tear, brother. Why? How come? But I'm telling you what, don't you think that sinner, don't you think the sorrow that grips him, don't you think the one that finally messes up and gets to that point of, and I've seen it in our own families. Miss Tammy, you've seen it in yours, honey. I know you've seen it. There's a deep sorrow and a regret. Why did I do that? Why did I go down that path? Why was I lured into this condition? But I'm telling you what, there's a sorrow that grips the sinner's heart. And Brother Lewis said, it can only be broken by grace. I'm serious, my friends. I'm preaching to you tonight to tell you that sorrow. And I'm not trying to bring you down on the eve of Thanksgiving. But, bless God, the best part's still to come in this message. You just hang on. Yeah, there's separation. Yeah, there's a situation and there's sorrow, brother. But I'm telling you what, there's something. I'm getting there real quick. And y'all will hear this in just a minute. You all right, Brother Archie?
Yes.
Are you awake?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Amen, Miss Mary Doris. Do you realize that these lepers, hear me well, Brother Chad, these lepers could not cleanse themselves. You ever heard of a potsherd? You got any of them on Spears Design Company, a potsherd? You know what a potsherd is? Y'all heard of them? They're in the Bible. That's what you scrape the bottom of your bacon drippings. You take the potsherd, Brother John, and you take the pot, be it a wok or a skillet or whatever you're cooking with. You take a potsherd and you try to scrape out the drippings from your hamburger steak or your bacon or whatever it is that you've overcooked or it's dripped out. And now it's a sticky mess in the bottom of your pan. Do you realize that the skin of the leper, the boils of a man that had them from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet that sat in a heap of ashes by the name of Job, took a potsherd, and brother, because of the boils and the festering, oozing sores, would take a potsherd, Brother John, and try to scrape the heads off of them things for pain relief. Can you imagine that? What is that? That's a man trying to find some relief. He's got a skin condition. He's got problems beyond that he can fix. The sinner cannot cleanse himself, my friend. The sinner, hear me well, the sinner cannot cleanse himself. He might realize that he's a sinner. He might realize, I've got to get some help. But brother, until he follows grace and goes under the fountain of Almighty Emmanuel's blood, he's not going to be benefited. He's not going to be better. And brother, he can scrape all he wants to. He's not going to be better until he meets the Savior. So the situation's not getting any better, but that poor old sinner, Brother John, he better realize pretty quickly, I can't fix myself. A man cannot cleanse himself as much as he would try. He just can't do it. And I'm, like I said, I was getting somewhere really quickly. And I want you to see this, and I want you to hear this well. In this passage of Scripture, go to verse number 19. Arise, and go thy way. What's the latter part of that? thy what? Thy faith. What thy faith do? Hath made thee whole. Now, brother, do you want to be cleansed or do you want to be made whole? Bless God, I'd rather be made whole all day long, Brother Ryan, because what happens in this passage of Scripture, I've told you about the situation at hand of the sin that you might be associated with. Brother Derek, I told you about that. I told you about how that it would separate you into separation for every sinner because he gets in his own little leper colony of one over here. Bless God, I told you about the sorrow that's attached to that. And bless God, it can bring a man down right. And a lot of people would put a bullet in their head. They'd put a vial in their arm or put a pill in their mouth. Try their best to ease their pain. And bless God, the Bible said in the latter day in the book of the Revelation that they would wish to die, and some of them couldn't even die, Brother John. That's really, really low. But my friends and I, thy faith, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Do you know what that is, brother? That's the salvation of the leper through faith. Bless God, you can be sorrowful or you can enter into salvation. And bless God, let faith make you whole, because faith is where it's at. How'd you get saved? You're saved by grace through what? Through faith. Where'd faith come from? But bless God, faith come from some old flint-faced preacher doing exactly what I'm doing tonight, preaching the goodness of Almighty God, preaching the Holy Ghost gospel, which is the good news, none other than Jesus Christ the righteous, still loving, still saving to the uttermost. Come on in, baby. You can come in, honey. I've not called anybody out for walking in front of the church yet. I won't start tonight. Sit down, Atlanta Grace. If you're here tonight, honestly, you stood up. You stood up. Others stood up. Miss Mary stood up. You stood up. You didn't stand up, but you spoke up. You stood up. What prompted you to stand up? The Holy Spirit said, get up. Just tell about how good I am. The same Holy Spirit that would prompt you to get up and speak up and stand up. Brother John is the same one that'll drive you down. Go back to the beginning of that passage. Where were they at, Brother John? When they saw him, they cried out with a loud voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Where did they find themselves? The next verse. Read with me. The Bible said they cried out, Master, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. In verse number 16. Bible said one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Where was he at, Brother John? He was on his face and at his feet. Brother, ain't that sweet? Where'd you get saved? Right over yonder? You know what right over yonder is to you? That's the place where you got on your face and at his feet.
Amen.
If you got saved here at this church, you were to get up here tonight just as close to the spot as you can get. I can't get there at this church, but where I got saved was at Center Baptist Church on South Center Church Road, and it was just about this far over on the left-hand side of the pew, a pulpit, as you're looking at the place. And bless God, you were to go back there once in a while. Brother Chris, you told me you could take me within 2 feet of the place of a place of Home Baptist Church where you got saved by God's grace. Boy, you ought to get there once in a while. Call the pastor, whoever that pastor is, and say, Brother, can you let me in the church? I don't have a key right now, and I know you've locked the building, but I just get in there one time. I just want to get right back to the very spot where I fell on my face and fell at his feet, and God saved me by his marvelous grace. I know he was preaching in revival at Haymeta Baptist Church when you surrendered the call to preach. You ought to call up the pastor, whoever that is, Brother Golden, and say, Brother, can I just come over there? I want to get right there on the left-hand side of the pulpit or wherever it was at. So I just want to talk a little bit with God tonight. You ought to get there once in a while. You know what that does, Brother Joe? It's a reminder. Simple reminder. I asked God to let me preach when I announced my call to preach. I asked him to let me preach in 2 places. Cindy and I come out of the Air Force. When I got home, the very first Sunday back, we talked about it, and her being the obedient, submissive wife that she was. She had a church, and I had a church. She said, where are you going to go to church? I said, we're going to go to my church. We went to my church, Brother John. That thing split right down the middle. So sad. I've got Brother DeWitt and all. A bunch of the halls are over here. A bunch of the halls have left, and they went up the road, Brother John, and built another church. When I announced my call to preach many, many years later, I said, God, can I preach in 2 places? I want to preach in both churches, the one that split and the one that become the splinter off of the other split. God let that happen. Boy, I was thankful for that. It's always good to go back. If you can, it's good to go back. Brother, ain't no place like right over there. I was glad you come back. I'm glad that... Do you remember me coming to meet you after I'd heard that you had resigned? And I said, brother, you're welcome at Calvary. I met you at your house. I said, you can go where God leads you. But if you come back here, you're a blessing to me. You're not interfering with my ministry. You come here and you be a blessing. I told you, you should be as welcome as you could be here. And we'll love on you. And we'll just let God do something. You said, well, preacher, there's some other places we got to go yet. I'm glad you went. But I'm glad you found your sweet place too.
Amen.
Tonight, as we finish up this message, where are they? You said, I can't answer for them. Which brings me to the last question as Miss Macy comes and Brother Scott comes. I told you, yeah, Chris, you're already there. I like it when a preacher or somebody is on the same page. I asked the question in open, where are they? How many times have you seen a whole pew at Calvary Baptist Church with nobody on it? It don't happen very often. Now, I know where they're at. I know Grant and Karen's going on vacation. I just come off of one. It's hard for me to say anything about them. I know Brother Tan. I know where my people are at, believe me. But moreover, rather than me saying, where are they? I ask you this question, where are you? You said, I'm sitting right here. Do you believe a man can be lost in his own backyard?
Yes.
Do you believe a man can be lost in his own courtyard? I believe that. Because there was a prodigal that left and wasted his substance on riotous living. There was a son that stayed. Do you realize, though, that the son that wasted everything that he had, every piece of money and all of his inheritance was gone, it was no different, Miss Lynn, than the man that was lost in his own backyard. Because when the prodigal came home, where the father had killed the fatted calf, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and the best robe, where was that other brother? Puffed up out in the backyard. His heart wasn't right. He didn't go spend it with harlots and riotous living.
Right.
Brother John, his was a matter of the heart. This thy son. Didn't say my brother. This thy son. Called him that, accusing the father. Let me tell you what, the father's not to be mocked, he's not to be accused. The heart is what's wrong. Now I ask you, where are they? Then I ask you this, where are you? As we stand, Miss Macy, as we stand. There is a fountain that's filled with blood that's drawn from Emmanuel's vein. You said, what is Emmanuel? God with us. Being interpreted as God with us.